Here is a trailer for a forthcoming BBC adventure series. The fastest man in Wyoming. What he had seen, no man had seen before. What he had done, no man had done before and lived. A face at the window, a scream, running footsteps in the night, or an invitation to adventure with...
Hawkeye, last of the Peeping Tom.
Here now is the show that came second in the Tristan da Cunha Festival of Light Entertainment. The first prize went to Finland for a report on gutta-percha farming in medieval Latin. Ladies and gentlemen, round the hall.
Hello and welcome to the show. That was, of course, Douglas Smith, the Bane of Britain. Well, now, today is the British Legion Barbecue Bishop for Lent Day. And all over England there'll be events to commemorate it. There'll be toad grappling at Sadler's Wells, subterranean beaver wiping in the steam room at Girton, dowager cuffing at the Rotherhithe slipper baths, and a demonstration of knothole freezing given by the Mountford Homes Formation Liver Sausage Chorale at the Hatfield College of Applied Technology and Curate Bleaching. And now,
by permission of the trustees of the Tom Tiddler Estate, we present
the Muff Plaster Saga.
Here with us in the studio is the last surviving member of the Muff Plaster family, Sir Aardvark Muff Plaster. And talking to him is Nemone Mouse Habit.
No, Sir Aardvark.
Now, Miss Mouse Habit? Well, all right, if you say so. Sorry, my dear. It was just an old man's whim. Yeah, what you were saying?
Now, I wonder if you would...
Certainly, me dear.
I suppose that's another old man's whim.
No, same old man, same old thing.
Your family have always been prominent in English history.
Oh, yes. Everyone knows it was a Muff Plaster who discovered America.
But surely that was Columbus.
That's what the history books say. But it was, in fact, Sir Triffid Muff Plaster. The year was 1491. The place, the court of King Alfonso the Incontinent. And his queen, Isabella. It was the time of the dreaded Inquisition.
Good evening and welcome to the Spanish Inquisition. First, the yes-no interlude. Will you bring on the first contestant, please?
Yes. And the first contestant is an old-age pensioner and heretic from Seville, Father Lacrimosa Throbwalloper.
Evening, Markov.
Now, you did say you were a heretic, didn't you? And you come from Seville?
That is correct.
You didn't say yes?
I did not.
Are you going to recant?
I am not.
Then you won't object to a little torture?
I will not.
Does it hurt you when I stick this lighted match up your cassock? Did you say yes?
I did not.
Well done, Father Throbwalloper. Now, for four pieces of eight, or two pieces of four, or one piece of two, just answer this question. Brothers and sisters have I none, but this man's father is my father's son. Who am I?
Mrs. Boggs, the child.
No, no. Oh. Shall we give him another try, Cabal?
Yes, I do!
Come on, then. Who am I?
Torquemada.
Correct. Hey! Now, let's open the box and see what you've won. Well, you haven't won the Star Chamber Prize, being burnt at the stake. And you haven't won the do-it-yourself torture kit consisting of thumb screws, boiling oil, and a complete set of Lady Dartmouth speeches. But never mind, because you have won 4 days, four whole days for two, on my own private rack.
Ooh!
Oh, that's just what I wanted. You've made a young masochist very happy. Bless you, Marco. Bless you.
Drag him out and drag in the next contestant.
Yes, harder, harder.
And what's your name?
Triffid Muffplaster.
And why are you here?
Because I said the world was round. I can prove it. I have been studying Mercator's projection.
Yes, yes, he told me. And you should be careful what you do with your dividers.
It's disgraceful the way you twist my words. And I get the blame. I shudder to think what he'll make of the next line.
Look, it's round.
Well, anything I say here is bound to be misconstrued. Take him to the Queen.
Thank you.
Your Majesty, I have a muff plaster outside.
How painful for you.
It's a sailor.
Allow me to genuflect before your Majesty. You can do it too as soon as I've finished.
Brave Muffplaster, you may kiss me seal.
I don't like to. He looks all damp. And poo, he's been eating herrings.
Down, seal. Bad seal. Bad seal, down. Down. Down, boy. Now, Muffplaster, what did you want to see me about?
I know that your Majesty is interested in trade. Look at this map. This map, I've found a new route to the Indies. It avoids the Exeter bypass. Give me 24 stout seafaring men, or 4 thin ones, or 3 mixed, I don't mind. But they could man a ship, and I can cross the Atlantic. I might discover a new world.
A new world?
Yes, it's a hope, a dream, a new world where all men can be equal and free. Free to eat jumbo nut burgers and whipsy maltese 24 hours a day. I see, as if in a vision, George Murphy tap dancing his way up the steps of the White House, while Barry Goldwater waves his old glory on the roof. I see Lincoln at Gettysburg, George Peppard at Tobruk. I see all men
marching together down the Freedom Road. Martin Luther King arm in arm with Governor Wallace. Sammy Davis arm in knee with John Wayne. Batman and Robin.
Stop it, Batman.
A land where men are free to...
Stop it, Batman.
Free to live in peace and harmony. The American way, under American rule. The American way of life.
And what are you going to call this land?
England.
And so young Triffid Muffplaster set sail in command of a small fleet. The Mina, the Harold Pinter, and the Santa Saucy Mrs. Trustpot. I was his aide-de-camp. The men under my command were a rough and ready lot.
I'm rough.
And I'm ready.
But the biggest scoundrel aboard was the bosun, Iron Liver McVitie. Day after day, he drove the crew relentlessly.
Staunch fast the mizzen whelping grumian.
Mizzen whelping grumian, staunch fast.
Loop your nooky pinions.
Loop your pinions looped.
Double cleat your main topsail halyards and jumble home your stench knots.
Do what?
Tie a bit of string round that nail.
Oh, right. Now, hold fast the mizzen sheet.
Aye, aye, sir.
Tack down the main sheet.
Aye, aye, sir.
Haul down oar.
Now, plump up the pillar. Right. Not at all.
Meanwhile, Muffplaster stood on the poop brooding. You look downcast, Captain.
Who's there?
I'm your aide-de-camp. You seem unhappy, sir. You've been here alone all through the dog watch.
Yes, 8 hours, and I haven't seen one dog. What do you want, number one?
Turn back. Please turn back.
Why?
Well, we missed a chance of a cheap laugh on the last page. When I came on and said, I'm your aide-de-camp, You could have said, I don't need any aid. I can manage by myself, you see. Get it?
Did you hear that? Oh, it's a burden having him on a voyage. It's him that cheapens the show. Yeah, so denigrating for an artist of my stature. I was pull-out playmate of the month in all now.
Excuse me, Captain.
What is it, Bosun?
The men want to turn back. They want to go home.
But why?
They think they left the bathwater running.
You're lying. That's merely an ingenious excuse to hide your real reason. You're afraid.
Afraid?
Yes! Ah!
Nobody calls. I live of a pity a coward and lives. How would you like to feel a cold steel?
You wouldn't.
Oh, wouldn't I? There! Has he?
Yes, he put a cold key down my back. All right, Iron Liver, take that and that.
You take that.
And you take that and that.
Oh, don't you want them?
No. No, I've got a drawful.
Besides, you've got the height to carry them.
Don't think they're a wee bit tight round the hips, do you? I don't want to look cheap.
No, it's you.
Oh, but all right, then. But I must give you something in return.
Oh, what is it?
A quick thrust with me, Cotter.
Ah!
Land, no!
You've done it, Muff Blaster. Against all the odds, you've discovered the new world. Quick, onto the beach and claim the land for Queen Isabella.
There, I got the flagpole.
I name this land America.
And just think, Muff Blaster, one day a proud city will stand on this spot. Here, the Statue of Liberty. There, the Empire State Building. What are you going to call it, Muff Blaster?
I don't know. What about New Grimsby?
No.
What about New Ashby de la Zouche? What about New Leighton Buzzard? New... Careful with that flagpole. New Manchester.
I don't like it.
I've got it. Watch what you're doing with that flagpole. New... Careful. Watch it. New York.
And so it was that for a long time the Goodwin Sands were known as the United States of America. But that's another story and probably funnier. And now the moment we've all been waiting for. But first, the Fraser Hayes Four. Ladies and gentlemen, to sing Gotta Travel On, the Fraser Hayes Four.
Stayed around this old town too long.
And now, the round the horn colour supplement.
First, Daphne Whitefire.
Hello. Now, there's been a lot of controversy aroused by the film version of Ulysses. People say this sort of thing shouldn't be allowed. I quite agree, it should be done in whispers.
Thank you, Daphne Whitefire. And come in, Sunday night TV personality Seamus Android.
Hello. All right, hello. Well, I'm here on the set of, and here beside me is the star of the film, a beautiful young lady who I know you're dying to as I am. And this seems like the perfect opportunity, too. So without further ado, this is Seamus Android returning you to the studio.
Thank you. And thank you, Seamus Android, a man who has few peers, except at his prompt card every 10 seconds. Now, this week, the colour supplement takes a look at London. Here are some interesting facts about our capital.
Did you know that if you stand in Piccadilly Circus long enough, it said you'll be arrested for loitering?
Did you know that London boasts the largest home for distressed gentlefolk in Britain, where people of breeding, too old for useful employment, can spend their declining years pottering harmlessly about collecting OBEs? It's called Broadcasting House.
Did you know that if Nelson's column was laid on its end in Whitehall, the tip of Nelson's hat would block the entrance to the gents' washroom at Scotland Yard?
Did you know that Archer Street was once the haunt of archers, that Brewer Street was the centre of the brewing trade, and that Mincing Lane has an interesting history too?
There's lots in London to interest the visitor. The waxworks, where lifelike effigies of former politicians can be seen. It's called the House of Lords. Next door is the Chamber of Horrors. Or House of Commons, of course. A great tourist attraction, of course, is the London Zoo, where, although in captivity, the animals receive the finest care.
And how are the patients today, Dr. Pewterblast?
Well, I'm a bit worried about that horse in the east enclosure. Oh. He's got a nasty swelling on his back. Mm-hmm. I tried to lance it, but he didn't take kindly to that, so I put a bread poultice on it, but it hasn't gone down.
Yes, I'm not surprised. That horse in the east enclosure is a camel.
Oh, oh, how naughty, sorry.
Yes. How's the giraffe?
Oh, I diagnosed that all right. He's got a sore throat. Yeah, I shall paint it with iodine just as soon as the scaffolding's up. But, you know, I'm worried about that dog.
The dog?
Yeah, the one by the lion house. He's hysterical.
Oh, that's the laughing hyena.
Oh.
Has Keeper Jenkins told you about the boar constrictor? Apparently he's been off his food.
Oh, yes, Keeper Jenkins told me. I had a look at him. He's all right now, except for a nasty protuberance in his stomach.
What do you think it is?
Keeper Jenkins. I'm more worried about Corn Posture, the elephant. He's lost his memory, thinks he's a baby kangaroo. Keeps hopping about on his hind legs, punching people.
Good heavens, yes.
And it's the other kangaroo that frightens me. Corn Posture keeps trying to get into her pouch. But then I've got worries of my own.
What's the matter?
I've got to resign.
Why?
Well, yesterday I thought that Lulu, the giant orangutan, was expiring. So I leapt into the cage and gave her the kiss of life. And it turned out she was only asleep. When she woke up, she misunderstood the situation entirely. Now she's suing me for breach of promise.
And I think there's a lesson for us all there. Of course, for many people, London spells romance.
Come here, Fiona. Look down there. It's like a necklet of diamonds on a velvet cushion, stretching away as far as the eye can see.
Oh, Charles, it's so lovely at night, London.
I love it at any time. London. In the fog, in the rain. I even love it in the winter, when Jack Frost touches it all with his icy fingers.
I love it too, Charles. It's our London.
Yes. All those plucky cockneys. costermongers, ironmongers, fishmongers. They're all munging something. And how did Noel Card put it? Ah, yes, I remember. Chuff little cockney sparrows. Look at those two. No wonder they're so cheerful.
Dear Charles, I want to remember this moment and keep it always. To pluck it out of time. Lock it away in my heart forever.
Forever?
Yes, Charles. Forever and ever and ever.
Never let me go.
No, Charles. Never. Never ever. Never, never, never ever.
Ah, London. What strange magic you weave. Fiona, have you ever loved like this before?
No, not like this. Not quite like this. Not on top of Big Ben.
Don't worry, Fiona, it's only the half.
Well, there are many songs, airs, and doggerel about old London, and here, with an air of the doggerel, is rambling Sid Rumpo. Well, my dearie, and how is your cord wangle this week?
Natured.
Oh, dear, then you won't be able to scrope your woggling iron for us.
Ah, there's no problem. I've grunged it at the all-night bogle wash in Paddington.
Yes. And listeners, if you think that's a lot of rubbish, remember you get the sort of show you deserve. Now, what are you going to sing for us this week?
"'Tis a master fumbler's traddling air and tells of a fair young maid from Hackney Wick for whom he'd gladly wordle his stunging troon. And it goes after this fashion. In Hackney Wick there lives a lass whose grommets would I woggle. Her gander parts none could surpass, and her paws it makes me boggle. Her mool is fine, her grunge divine, the way her loomers tick. I'd give up work for one quick nerk. I won't go into a long explanation of the precise meaning of the word nerk, as it would weary you. Sweet lass of Hackney Wick, sweet lass of Hackney Wick, sweet lass of Hackney Wick, I'd give a groat for one quick scroat. Sweet lass of Hackney Wick.
And thank you, Rambling Sid. Now, the best way to see London is to go on a guided tour. Last week, I was leafing through my copy of Forbidden Flesh Monthly. It's a vegetarian magazine. And the latest edition has a rather daring front cover, an unretouched photograph of a Scotch egg. In the nude, too. Anyway, I saw this advertisement which read, "Guided Tripettes. Troll round London with us." So I hurried to their address in Chelsea. Hello, anybody there?
Hello, what do you want?
Oh, I was expecting somebody else. This is Guided Tripettes.
Oh, yes, you want Master Julian and Master Sandy. I'll call them down. Oi! One of your regulars down here!
Oh, it's Miss Rose!
Oh, so it is. Oh, how nice to bow to your dolly old eek again.
Thank you, thank you. Tell me, who's your friend?
Oh, that's Gordon.
The one that used to be the attendant in the slipper baths?
Yeah, that's him. He's working for us now.
Sort of gentleman's gentleman.
You could say that. He's more your odd job homie. Here's a pound, Gordon. Go and tinker with your motorbike.
Oh, tar, Master Sand.
That's
say.
Hmm?
You'll have to talk to him about his clothes, Sam.
What do you mean?
What with them studs in his jeans and them studs in his jacket? He's got more rivets than the Q4.
That's actual fourth queen.
Yeah. They're scrapping the other two queens, did you know?
Yes. Oh, I know. When I read the headline, queens to be scrapped, my stomach went, oh! Well, I'll tell you. I'm going to say, wasn't I? Was
I to an
eight?
Hail.
What? I'd rather
sell
volatile.
Oh.
Dreadful. Dreadful.
So he really is a devoted royalist.
Devoted. I'm devoted. Devoted
anyway, enough of that. I take it you're interested in a guided tour of London.
Yes, I am.
Our motto, see London and die.
Yeah, but surely that's Naples.
No, London.
You'll die when you see the places we take.
We start off with all the usual sights, the Lattes of Parliament, Buckingham Lattie, the lot.
Oh, yeah. Cruise round all the Lattes, having a quick varder.
Yes, that's right.
Then down your birdcage, walking up your mall.
That's your pool mall. See?
Then a quick Manjari on top of the GPO tower and back to the palace. After that, to Varda the changing of the guard.
That's right, changing the guard. And when he's changed, he's off to the city. Off to the city to see the old clone of Fred Needle Street.
Oh, the Bank of England.
No, Mrs. Gnome's friend.
Oh.
She keeps a very understanding pub in the city. Mm. It's called the Gay Bar G.
Yes. Always full of chums.
Very nice, though. They do a very good draft creme de menthe.
Oh, very, very, very. Do a lovely head on it, they do.
Lovely head.
Thus revived, the weary traveller is whisked up the West End for the gay round of the night.
The Marine Commando Club, Paddington.
Yes. Pink Gin a Go Go.
Reynard La Spoon's Club.
Oh, Reynard La Spoon, is that the famous female impersonator?
Yes, that's right. With our tour, you spend the whole evening at Reynard La Spoon.
Yes, it's fantabulous. Oh, what a spectacle. Oh. The lighting, the costumes, the makeup, the jewellery, the fave hairdo.
Well, it sounds remarkable.
It is. Particularly when you consider that's only the waiters.
Anyway, I went on the tour and I really got to see places that the normal visitor to London would never see. And that's why next week, round the horn, will be an outside broadcast from Pentonville Prison. And cheerio, see you, Governor permitting, next week. Cheerio.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, and Bill Pertwee. On the musical side, you heard the Fraser Hayes Four and Edwin Braden and the Hornblowers. The script was written by Barry Took and Marty Feldman. The show is produced by John Simmons.